Turn with me today, if you would, to our text, Isaiah chapter 26, verses 4 through 6. Also found in your bulletin in its entirety today, verses 4 through 6 of Isaiah chapter 26, as we looked at the admonition to trust in the Lord forever. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low to the ground, cast it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. Now once again, I want to remind you of the context in which our text is found today. Context is so important in understanding the Bible. Always important to make sure that we don't just lift something out of Scripture to make it say whatever we want. We need to make sure that we're aware of the context, the immediate context in which a verse or passage is found, the context of the book, and really most importantly, the context of the Bible as a whole, as we see the one coherent message of Scripture from beginning to end. And so as we look at the context today, we are looking at that day. That's what we've been talking about for a couple of chapters. That day, the day of final judgment. The day when the Lord executes His wrath upon all evildoers and ushers in His eternal kingdom. And ever since the death of Christ, we have been living in the last days. I want you to be aware of that. The New Testament writers understood they were living in the last days. And the only reason why that day has not yet come is because of the patience of the Lord. And so finally, when that day comes, we will see the end of the world as we know it. And we find in our passage, during that day, during that time, when the Lord returns, a contrast between those who are secure in Christ and those whose trust lies somewhere else. The Lord God is an everlasting rock. And contrasted with His strength is everything else which He will humble and lay low. Now, I sometimes research purchases on the internet. And one of the things I appreciate on a site is when they have a compare feature. That maybe I'm thinking about one of a couple of different items. There's a compare feature. And you can click off two or more items. And you can compare them, and their specifications come up side by side, and their strengths and their weaknesses, and you can do that. And I appreciate that. And today I want us to do the same thing. I want us, with this text, with the help of a couple other texts today, I want us to flesh out the comparison that is found in our text. I want us to lay two things side by side, two products, if you would, lay them side by side and look at them. And so we're going to select our first product. And we find in verse 4, trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock. That's our first product. And our second product is this, a lofty or proud city which is humbled, laid low, cast to the dust, and trampled down even by the feet of the poor and needy. And I want you to recognize these are our only two choices. There are no others. Just as I said last week that there are only two types of people in the world. There are sinners who have had their sin forgiven and enjoy the blessings of God. And there are sinners who are still in their sin and suffer the judgment of God. So in the same way that there are only two types of people, in our passage today we find that we only have two products to put into our comparison today. Now, on the surface, the choice seems obvious. If I was looking at two products online and the differences were as great as these, I know exactly why I choose. The choice is obvious. I can trust in the Lord forever because He is an everlasting rock. He has staying power. He has perseverance. He is strong. He is the great foundational rock. And we can stop there without even looking at the second choice. Because there's nothing better than that. Since those short words, they say it all. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Now, I'll tell you what. If you need something to motivate you in the morning, take that verse, take verse 4. Type it out in your computer or write it out on a card or something and tape it up on your bathroom mirror. And reflect on that every morning. No matter what troubles you're facing, no matter what happens, when you brush your teeth in the morning, guys, when you shave in the morning, when you brush your teeth in the evening, look at that, and that would be all the motivation you need. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Put that up there and you really won't need a whole lot more, because this is something that will never disappoint. And yet, as obvious as it appears that that's the only choice, far too many people choose the second item on our list. They put that in their shopping cart. They choose something that will not last, something that will not endure, something that will be debased, something that will disappoint. Whether that lofty city that they choose is their pride or their possessions or prestige, it will not last. It will fail, and it will fail miserably. Now, Jesus spoke of this same comparison at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. Turn with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 7, beginning in verse 24. It's found on page 812 if you're using the Pew Bible. Matthew chapter 7, and beginning with verse 24. Here's how Jesus sets up that same comparison. And he puts it at the end of the Sermon on the Mount, probably the most important sermon that was ever preached. He puts this at the end so that you can see just how important this is. This is his final word that day. And Jesus says, beginning in verse 24, "Everyone then who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house. But it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock. And everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain came, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it." And notice that's the last thing Jesus says, because right after that, when Jesus finished his sayings, the crowds were astonished, because he taught them with authority, and not like other teachers that they had heard. So Jesus here, in order to cap off the most important sermon of all time, he sticks that same comparison in front of us. Those who build on the rock and those who build on shifting, sinking sand. Trusting in the words of Christ, trusting in the Lord forever, gives you a strong foundation of rock. Even if a Hurricane Florence or worse comes, you are secure. Nothing is going to move a life that is built on the words of the Son of God, because it is founded on a rock. The Apostle Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 3:11 that the only foundation, the only lasting foundation, is Christ Jesus. Everything other than Christ is shifting, sinking sand. If you build your house, your life, on anything other than the words of Christ, and remember, there are only two choices. You can either build on Christ, or you can build on something else. It may look like there's all kinds of choices out there, but really they're all the same. It's either Christ or something else. And so if you build your life on something other than Christ, then the house will fall and life will be destroyed. Now, you might think that you're secure now, built on something other than Christ, but you will not survive the greatest of storms, the storm of God's wrath. Now, with the choice so obvious, why do so many people choose wrongly? And look around. Millions of people are building amiss. They choose the wrong foundation. They choose something which is not Christ. There's a couple of reasons I believe why they do it. First and foremost, I believe that people build on the wrong foundation because of their pride. They want to trust in themselves. They want to trust in something that they build without any help. And in our culture, self-reliance and independence are prized. In fact, they are worshipped. We adore the person who pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. The strong man or woman who has overcome all challenges and stands victorious over all their foes. And we'll even excuse them from trampling on others if they succeed. We worship them. We admire them. And yet, sadly enough, their strength will not endure. Now, the reason why they look strong is because maybe they've already faced many smaller storms and held up well. But ultimately, they will fail and they will fall when the Category 10 storm, that is the wrath of God, comes. Now, one of the reasons why these people look strong is because we don't often see big storms in our lives. In reality, we don't really see a lot of big storms. And we certainly haven't faced anything as strong as the wrath of God that is to come. Now, as dangerous as Hurricane Florence, then to become Tropical Storm Florence, now Tropical Depression Florence is, as dangerous as that is, and still is dangerous, with the capacity to drop trillions of gallons of water and to endanger millions of people over a wide area, as dangerous as that is, in reality, as it came across land, it really wasn't that big of a storm. Was it at best a Category 1 hurricane that very quickly went to a tropical storm, now a tropical depression? And so when it made landfall, it wasn't as strong as we originally feared to be a Cat 4, Cat 5 storm. Now, many people who chose not to evacuate, and the orders for evacuation came a little like this was going to be a monster storm. Now, it's still a bad storm. And the flooding from that, in fact, the worst is not over. There's going to be days of continual rain that's going to lead to flooding, areas that have never flooded. But many of those people chose not to evacuate. They will probably ride it out with nothing more than some inconvenience. They'll lose power, they'll experience some flooding. And those people will think themselves smarter than those who actually did evacuate. Yet if that storm had done what they first thought it was going to do, if it made landfall as a Category 4 or Category 5 storm, those same people who think they're so smart now probably would have been killed. Probably would have. Their homes would have been blown away. The floodwaters would come up so high they couldn't survive. They probably would have been killed. Now, in the same way, if our lives are founded upon the crumbling foundation of our pride, we might hold up against many a storm. But we will not survive the storm of that day. When that day comes, we will be humbled. We will be laid low, right into the ground, cast to the dust, trampled under the weakest of feet. No matter how great a city we build, no matter how high we make it, no matter how lofty we envision it, it will be cast into the dust of judgment and be no more. Our pride in ourselves will kill us, but trusting Christ will preserve us. Remember, He is the everlasting rock, and all who build upon Him are secure. So the first reason why many people make the wrong choice is because of their pride. But a second reason why many don't build upon Christ is because they have not yet heard the gospel. They have not heard of the everlasting rock. They don't know anything else to build on other than what they're building on. Without knowing Christ, and without knowing about Christ, they will naturally build upon the wrong and faulty foundations. And that is where the people who have trusted in Christ have their mission. This is where our job comes in. We are to take the gospel to the world. We are to tell them of the sinless, holy one who came to earth, walked among men, healing their diseases, and comforting them in their distress. The one who was nailed to a cruel Roman cross in order to atone for the sin of the world. The one who rose from the dead to live forever. The one who is the strong rock of protection. The one who is coming back to judge this world and reward his children. We need to tell them about Jesus. We need to go into every corner of the world and make disciples. See, one of the reasons why Baptist Disaster Relief exists is to take the gospel to people. To take the gospel to people, they're most vulnerable when they're hurting. When they recognize that what they've been building on has not been sufficient. Well, that's the goal of all missions. That's the goal of all evangelism. We take the gospel to people whose foundations are crumbling, and we offer them the foundation of the everlasting rock. Because they've been building on the wrong thing. They've been building on the shifting sand that will not hold, that will not withstand the greatest of storms to come. So how will people build on the right foundation when they don't know what the right foundation is? How will they hear unless a preacher goes? How will they hear unless you go across the street to your neighbor and you tell them about Jesus? There are pockets of darkness right down here in the South Valley where people haven't heard the gospel. There are places you'll go this week where people haven't heard the gospel. Now, you may encounter opposition. But just think if you knew that the storm of the millennium was coming, and it was going to hit the South Valley, Albuquerque. We were going to have something unprecedented. We were going to have hurricane force winds and rain, and this whole valley was going to flood. And people were going to die if they didn't evacuate. And you know that your neighbor across the street hasn't heard. No, they haven't heard. They're not hooked up to the internet. They don't listen to the radio, the TV. They don't know. They're just secure in their homes, or so they think. But you know the storm's coming. And you're getting ready to evacuate your family. You're getting ready to go to higher ground. You're getting ready to get out of here. Would it be loving for you to say, I'm going, I'm taking care of my family, I really don't care what happens to them? Absolutely not. You would go and be pounding on their door. You'd be doing everything in your power to convince them that they need to get out. They need to escape. They need to get to a better foundation. That's what you do. And there are people we know who don't know the right foundation. They're building on all the wrong things. And we need to point them to Jesus. Now, as I said, you may get pushback. May get people who don't believe you. I know my brother Ryan and others, Mike Stockdale, Robert Gray, others that were ministering on college campuses in Colorado, they had the wildest week they've ever had. Of hecklers and insults and shouting and threats. I think that's just a sign of the times. Shout it down. But proclaiming the gospel message, because they recognize that people aren't built on the wrong foundation, or on the right foundation. When the storm comes, they won't withstand. So how will people know if they don't know what the right foundation is? We need to go tell. He is the everlasting rock. He is the foundation. And as Jesus himself said, he is the cornerstone the builders rejected. And those who reject him will be crushed by him. Those who don't put their trust in him will be crushed by him. The reason for that is because he is both a secure refuge as well as the storm against which there is no earthly defense. He is both. He is the loving Savior, but he's also the righteous judge. He offers his salvation now. He offers his security now. But for those who reject, they will face him in judgment. And he will be the just judge who properly punishes evil. And those who reject him, for them there is no defense. He's both Savior and judge, rewarder and punisher. For those who know him, he is our greatest blessing. But for those who reject him, he is their greatest fear. Jesus didn't tell us to fear the devil. Jesus told us to fear the one who could throw us into hell. And the only one that has that power is God. And so as we complete our comparison today, which will you choose? Will you choose to trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock? Or will you choose something else, anything else, to your own destruction? And recognize that choice is the same one your neighbors have, the same one your family has, the same one that everyone has. For there are only two types of people, and there are only two choices. And the choice that we make is the most important one we'll ever make.